Oh, good evening, everyone. My beautiful ones out there waiting for us. You know it's Saturday, our most wonderful day of the week. And we're looking forward to touching you and having you touching us. And as you know, my beautiful friend is here, Richard.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. I almost wasn't here, and I hope we have solved our technical problems of last week. I apologize to you all for hassles we had last week.
Well, as you know, last week, Max, the Crystal Skull, was here. Now, it's very easy to think, has she been smoking something? They're talking to a crystal skull. Well, for those of you who know our work, you understand that we not only believe that we can speak to consciousness wherever we choose to link up with it, but in fact we do. It's what this whole radio show is about, us communicating with consciousness on the other side of the veil, so to speak. Richard calls it, and I call it, right brain magic, because we're using the right side of our brain to speak to consciousness. And for those of you who wish to do this, it is a remarkable thing to do, to speak with your body, trees, your pets. The consciousness is just unlimited. And I would like for you to know that Richard teaches this to people, and he does an excellent job. And so tonight, we're going to speak to the consciousness of the crystal skull. That is really what we are doing. It might seem strange to you to do this, but to us, it is an everyday feat. We work with different consciousness all the time. And you might not have been aware that Max is a gift to humanity. And among some of the many things that Max does is he is aware of the history of Earth. That is what we're going to be discussing tonight with Max. And for those of you who are listening, Richard's going to describe the energies that he feels when he connects with Max. And for you, dear ones, you probably know what the crystal skull looks like. So take that image, put it into your third eye, and concentrate on that image and on your heart chakra. Concentrate on those two places and listen to Richard as he describes Max's energy, and perhaps you will feel it also. Max is awesome. Richard.
Well, he's very similar to last week. Surprise, surprise. I feel his energy, as I said last week, very centrally. And so that central nature is essentially a heart energy. And it might sound a little bizarre to you that a crystal might have a heart-centered energy, but really it's an expression of love. And if you understand the nature of creation, truly everything is created from love. It is the fundamental energy from which all is created, including our challenging friends, the dark, though they seem to have forgotten about that. So there is this central energy of love matched with a level of wisdom. And as I think I expressed last week, there is almost this singularity about this energy, very purposeful, perhaps without the level of color that one might associate with a soul, if you will, a being that is incarnated as a human being, either currently or in the past, where you get, in my experience, more complexity to the energy. This is not in any manner to detract from the experience of Max, because he's very real, and he's very, in his own way, intelligent, a very powerful consciousness, very interesting energy.
That's beautiful. And I would like to know if Max has a message for our audience tonight.
My friends, it saddens me a little that all that I shared last week was lost to some of you. I know some of you were able to listen despite the difficulties, but I know some of you, particularly where your native language is not English, found it difficult to understand what I shared last week. And there is a connection between what I want to do this week and some things that I spoke last week. I mentioned that one of the reasons that I had come to the planet was to, you might say, prompt the crystals of the planet to record the history of the planet. It is something they are all capable of doing, but they don't necessarily do it unless they have some guidance to do so. So one of the reasons that I came to the planet was to provide that guidance to the crystals, if you will, that are held within the planet. And perhaps some of them would have done it anyway, perhaps not. But the outcome is that a great many crystals upon the planet have recorded the history of what has unfolded. And it doesn't mean that that crystal needs to be in a particular location to record the history that occurred in that location, because there is, you might say, a shared consciousness between crystals of the planet, and so it is indeed all stored. It is difficult for you to comprehend this. And somewhat aligned with this is the fact that, as I shared with Carolyn during the week, part of my mission in coming to planet Earth has been to record the history of the planet. And so whilst I encouraged others to do so, it was also part of my own mission to do so. And so to come forth in this time and to firstly share that information with you, and also to share a little of that history with you, is something that gives me great pleasure and in its own way fulfills an aspect of my mission. It might sound a little strange to you that a crystal might have a mission just as a soul has a mission when it incarnates upon the planet. But really, if you consider the nature of consciousness in general, there are so many similarities, whether it is expressed through a soul or in some other form. Consciousness is the ultimate expression that holds, you might say, everything. And everything carries a level of consciousness. And that consciousness carries with it a certain orientation, a certain flavor, a certain direction, depending on what it is that we are discussing. So, for example, the consciousness that might be associated with a tree, for example, or the consciousness that is associated with a plant which simply grows in a season, flowers, and then dies away, is a very different consciousness. And yet they are both expressions of consciousness. They serve different purposes. And so, for example, there is in each case a level of wisdom that is held. In the case of a plant which grows in a season, flowers, and dies away, there is, in a sense, a consciousness of that particular species of plant. And its focus is very much upon its own experience as it exists as a member of that species and in that particular growing cycle. Whereas if one takes a tree, it is, yes, it has a focus which is related to species, but also there is a wisdom that is carried within that species and indeed with that individual, which is far more comprehensive than is the case for the consciousness of that you might say, annual plant. So I give you this example, and you might look at animals where, as you may know, there is a group soul for those animals, and there is a consciousness that is associated with each individual animal. And so there is this interplay, this understanding of what it means for that individual animal to be part of that group soul, whether it be a horse or a possum or a fox, it matters little. These are very similar. And there is that individual consciousness of that animal that is, you might say, aligned with that group soul. So I mention these things so that you begin to understand that it is not so extreme, you might say, that here am I, the consciousness of a what you might consider a rock, coming forth and communicating with you in this way and saying that I carry the history of the earth. But indeed, that is how it is. Just as there is a consciousness of the planet itself, there is a consciousness of each of the continents, there is a consciousness of a river, and indeed every droplet of water in that river. So this is how things are made up. And most people have very little awareness of this, especially in your current world, where this nature of things has been quite deliberately, you might say, disguised or hidden by those who wish to present your world as being very mechanistic, that everything has evolved in an evolutionary sense, and you as human beings are simply a more refined form of an ape, and that everything else is without any kind of consciousness, that it really is just there, that it kind of arose by accident. And it is so far from the truth of things. So I wanted to provide you with a little of that context before we get into the specifics of what I wish to share with you tonight. Now, I will say to you that it is impossible for me to, in this short time that we have together, to share the total history of the earth. And I have no intention of trying. But what I wanted to do was really give you that understanding in a more powerful way and to give you some examples such that when you awaken your own skills, if you have not already done so, or if you have already done so, begin to utilize those skills a little more to, if you choose, connect with a crystal that you already have or that you acquire and begin to investigate some of the things that we are doing here with your understanding that there is that, you might say, access to the history of all of the planet or any specific aspect of human and earth history in general that is available through that crystal. So this is my primary focus with you tonight. And I wish to say, by way of the history of the planet, not all of the history of the planet has occurred since I, you might say, came on board. Because, of course, the planet was formed and indeed had been round for millions of years before I was delivered to your planet. But because of my mission and because of my nature, I have been able to gather information about that prior history so that I am in a place to deliver against my mission in this manner. And this is true for all of you. You do not have to have been in existence, you might say, in your current expression, to have access to any kind of history that might exist, either of the planet or indeed of your galaxy or the cosmos. You see, all of this is held in records somewhere. And depending on the nature of that history, it is held in different places. And it is accessible to anyone who wishes to go and look for it, provided they have activated their skills. There are some limits around this. For example, the soul history is held in the Akashic records, and those records are only available to certain individuals. But there are many, many other libraries where information is held about so many things that are accessible really to any form of consciousness that is willing to go and search. So again, I share this information with you to give you some context, to give you some understanding of what I'm saying here and the possibilities which exist for you as a human being with the ability to choose your focus, to begin to embrace the truth of the totality of who and what you are, even in this current consciousness, because so much of who and what you are has been, you might say, shut down or dumbed down by those who wish to have you think you are much less than you truly are, or have an agenda of denying the human history upon this planet and indeed the history of the planet itself. Because indeed that is the agenda of those who wish to, you might say, impose complete control over humanity, and in many ways are very close to doing so. So this is the background that I wish to provide, and perhaps this is a good moment to take a break and see what you wish of me, Carol.
Thank you, Max. I'm sure those out in the audience, excuse me, listening to this, have many questions. So feel free to call in with your question, and we will present them to Max. Something that I found so noteworthy last week was your suggestion as to how one should start to work with a crystal. Can you repeat some of that, Max, because I just thought it was wonderful.
Yes, I am willing to repeat this because, as we all understand, it was not entirely clear to everyone what I had to say last week. And so, if you have a crystal, or if you are acquiring a crystal, in order to connect with it and to work with it ideally, I suggest that you connect with it energetically. Some of you might find that the power of that crystal is quite high, and you might find it a little overwhelming, perhaps, when you first begin to connect with it, if it is indeed a crystal that holds great power. And when I speak of connecting with it, I suggest that you meditate with it, to hold it in your hands and to meditate with it each day for perhaps an hour. And when you do this, you are establishing a connection, an energetic connection between you and that crystal. Some of you are perhaps aware that when you become very closely associated with another individual, whether it be a parent-child relationship or whether it be a partnership of some sort, whether it be a personal partnership or even a business partnership, there is an array of energetic threads which are laid down between you and that other individual. And though this may surprise you, there are similar sorts of threads which are laid down between you and your crystal. And so it's like you establish this friendship, this connection, this special relationship as a result of the meditative process that I have described to you. Now, once you have established this, I recommend that you intend that all of the negative energies that that crystal holds be cleared. Before you do this, I recommend that you leave the crystal sit in the sun for perhaps 3 days, because this energizes the crystal with prana and with fresh energies from the sun, and then intend that all the negative energies that have been accumulated by that crystal be cleared. Your intention is way more powerful than you understand. And simply intending to clear these energies from your crystal will be sufficient. And so what you have is, in a sense, a pristine crystal with which you now have a connection, and a crystal which is now energized. And again, using intention, you can specify what it is you want that crystal to do. In a sense, because you have already developed that connection, the crystal will, in almost in and of itself, do what it is that you want it to do in any given moment. However, there is value in a sense, programming it through intention. So you might intend that that crystal be used for healing, or you might intend that it be used to energize water when you place that water in the sun with the crystal in it, or what other purpose you might have for your crystal. Those intentions help to direct the energies in a more focused way, and you can clear these at any time if you wish. Just as you cleared the negative energies from that crystal using intention. So this, in a sense, programs the crystal and gives it more focus. And you can set multiple intentions. It is not as if, in a sense, they directly interfere, because it would take quite a large number of intentions for these to begin to interfere. So this, in simple terms, is how I recommend you begin to work with your crystal.
Thank you, Max. That was so beautiful, and I just love how it works. Now, we are very much aware how important intention is. And I wonder if you can give us some insight as to when we hold an intention, what does that do to the particles to help bring our intention into our dimension, into our awareness?
When you set an intention, which is something that a soul can do, it is difficult for a crystal, for example, to set an intention, though, as you understand, a crystal can have a defined mission, as I do. But intention is really something that takes a soul to do. And when you intend something, it is like you magnetize the background energy field. You magnetize the energetic particles, if you will, that make up matter, or even before they make up matter, simply the background energies. You predispose them to bringing forth what it is that you wish to see in your reality. Humanity, for the most part, has forgotten, or indeed has been conditioned to forget, that you all create your own reality. You have heard these words, and yet many of you doubt this truth, but it carries great truth. It is how the reality that you experience, in fact, exists. It exists as a result of, on a level, agreement between many souls. And so much of what a child learns when it is first born and begins to live in this consciousness is how to play its role in participating within this consciousness and within the agreements, in a sense, that have been put in place. As you go forward through the changes in consciousness which are beginning to emerge in this reality and which will be far more manifest very soon, your ability using intention to actually bring forth very directly into your experience that which you desire will be transformed from its current levels. Today, you need to focus and have faith and belief. that your intentions will bring forth what you desire. And in most cases, it is not an instant thing. It can be very rapid, and often it comes forth in subtle ways. Often it comes forth in ways you don't expect. But indeed, it does come forth into your experience. If you hold that intention, you reinforce that intention over several days, ideally in meditation, and if you can have it be enhanced by, for example, the full moon as you currently have present in your experience, and give thanks for it coming forth, and as I said, have faith and belief in the power of what you are doing, then indeed these things will align and bring forth what it is you have focused upon. This is in truth the reality of things, and so many are in doubt of this that they may try it, but then they give up. And I will mention, as I believe Richard has mentioned to a number of you when he has worked with you, that your negative past life karmic energies do have an impact on your ability to conduct this process, because the agenda that you have set coming into this lifetime to ensure those energies are cleared does impact how events unfold in your life. And so clearing those energies frees you from, you might say, those contractual constraints. So intention works on, as I said, the background energy. If any of you have taken the time to investigate the new, you might say, knowledge that is being brought forth by Meron Kesh, you will understand that all that comes forth by way of matter and indeed light and anything else comes forth as an expression of magnetic fields. And so when I mention magnetizing the background energy field, in a sense, it is already magnetized, but what you are doing is influencing how those magnetic fields are actually expressed in matter and in energy and indeed in interaction with others. So this is how intention works. It really works through magnetism.
That is beautiful, Max. Thank you so much for bringing that forth. I am looking for a simple answer here, nothing too complex. However, I know it could be complex. We hear so much about background energy, but I'm not sure that our listeners or other people really understand what background energy is. Could you give us a very short definition of what background energy is?
In simple terms, there is a very dense background energy field from which all that you experience arises, including your own physicality. And you might think that if you take so-called empty space, that it is empty. In truth, it is not. A vacuum indeed carries a huge amount of background energy. And indeed, your scientists have come to understand, at least some of them, that the background energy density, which is held in the volume of a proton, is equal to the total known energy made up by the known mass in your universe. That is hard to comprehend. But I will say it again. The energy held in the volume occupied by a proton is equivalent to the total known mass and energy in your universe. And so the background energy is extremely powerful. It has, you might say, huge potential for expression in the form of your experience. And the ability to work with that energy to bring forth whatever it is you desire does not seem so strange when you realize the power that that energy holds. And indeed, it is the role in part of the DNA to be able to connect into the background energy field and to direct it, to steer it. This is difficult for the human individual to do when you only have two active DNA strands. But when your full DNA ability is reactivated, your ability to what you might call manipulate, I would prefer to use the word fashion, or direct the energies to bring forth what it is that you wish to see in your experience, or indeed to dissolve that which you no longer wish to see in your experience. This does not seem quite so strange when you begin to understand the power that is at your disposal. And similarly, the notion of there being some kind of shortage of energy in your world is simply nonsense created by those who wish to control you. So I hope this gives you some sense of the background energy.
Well, it certainly does, and I find that very, very fascinating, very interesting. And it brings up another question, Max. You speak of the background energy, that this is energy. Is it fair to say that all creation comes forth through this background energy?
It is more than fair to say.
So that is the truth. Learning how to fashion, as you said, the background energy is the essence of creating.
Indeed it is.
I find that extraordinary. Okay, we're going to go to a caller.
I will add a little to my answer, and that is that when you see matter, you experience matter, you might consider it as being, in a sense, a standing wave. It is a patterning, if you will, of that energy. And indeed, it expresses the intention of those who created that matter. So this is just a little additional piece to what we have discussed here.
Max, I admire the information that you hold, and you bring forth concepts that are just so fascinating. And I know a lot of people are not aware of what these words actually mean. We hear them, we accept them, but we don't always understand what they mean. Can you give me, in simple terms, the concept of what a standing wave is?
For those of you who have studied some basic science, you perhaps will have experienced a wave being created in a pool, where the wave is generated at one end and then propagates along the pool and then reflects on the far end of the pool and travels back. And if the frequency of that wave is appropriate, there is, in a sense, an interference pattern which is created between the wave which is being sent forth and its reflection. And the result of this is this, what's called a standing wave. It's as if the wave is not moving as you look at it from your external perspective. But of course, the waves are still propagating back and forth. But because of how they interfere with each other, the result of this is this apparent fixed pattern. And this is the nature of a standing wave. In a way, it has boundaries within which that wave is set up. It is a little hard to imagine that when you talk about, for example, a piece of solid matter, but that is indeed the essence of the standing wave, and it can be expressed in many forms.
We'll get back to that because I find that extremely fascinating. Well, I want to bring in Jessica on line one for her question for you, Max. Jessica, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I have questions about a couple of things Max said last week.
Okay.
One thing he said was that he's not surprised at how events have unfolded recently, and I wondered if he had any specifics on how he expects events to continue to unfold along the ascension path.
Okay. Richard, did you hear Jessica's question?
I did.
Thank you.
There are many events that are occurring in your world currently, which are, you might say, associated with the awakening of humanity from this stupor, you could say, that they have been placed in. And there are many threads of this stupor. Religion is part of this stupor. There has been a great deal of programming of humanity that has been conducted through the education system, through advertising, through television and films, and so many other things that have been used to, in a sense, set up a particular consciousness, a particular perspective of humanity. Indeed, you might say that there has been a form of enslavement that has been conducted by a small group. As you know, the world is run on the basis of paper currency. And if you reflect upon this for a moment, you will recognize that those who create the paper currency have the ability to create any amount of so-called wealth they wish. And those who accept that currency as having some kind of intrinsic value are, by definition, under the control of those who can create that currency at will. So if you create the illusion that that currency is worth something, then if you are somebody who can create it at will, then you have control over every individual who is willing to place value upon your, you might say, made-up currency. And you can see, if you reflect upon this for a moment, that it is all an illusion that most of humanity has bought into. And if you have, let's say, a politician or a judicial figure or indeed anyone who places a value on your made-up currency, you can control them. You simply have to work out their price and pay it. And when creating that currency costs you nothing of real value, suddenly you are exercising control. In a sense, you are exercising a form of enslavement of humanity. And this little trick, you might say, is at the heart of your entire financial system globally. So there are many threads to this illusion, you might say, that humanity finds itself in. And there are many steps that are being taken to begin to dissolve this illusion. People in many different ways are beginning to awaken to the truth of what is being done. There are those who've called, you might say, those who have created this illusion of wealth within paper currency. There are those, as I mentioned, Meron Keshe, who is bringing forth new technologies, new in the human experience, whereby there is essentially unlimited energy available on tap, which in no way relies on your current reliance on fossil fuels, or even more frighteningly, nuclear fission. And so there are many threads of this nature, some of which have received some publicity, others not. And I mention these things because there is this growing, you might say, erosion of this illusion. Many people are beginning to understand the abuses that have been conducted in the name of the Catholic Church, indeed, not only in the name of, but with the full permission and support of the Catholic Church, this so-called bastion of, though, well, they might they might wish to present themselves as a bastion of spirituality, but I would see them as a bastion of religiosity, which is a little different. And so that facade has been severely damaged through the sexual abuse, particularly child sexual abuse, that has been coming forth over the last few years. And there are inquiries into this of various sorts, and the degree of cover-ups that have been conducted have been exposed. The levels of genocide that have been conducted by not only the Catholic Church but other religions across the world is beginning to be recognized and exposed. And so there are many threads, if you will, that illustrate this awakening that is occurring for humanity. It might seem for most people that are on this radio show listening or listen to the recording that this is occurring at a seeming snail's pace. But if you reflect on how far it has moved in the last couple of years, and especially since that alignment with the December solstice of last year, the rate of change truly is explosive in the context of the time frame of this dominance of humanity, you might say. So there is this awakening occurring on many levels, new information and new understandings coming forth, people having the internal fortitude, you might say, to stand up to the powers that be, to stand up to the judicial system and call it for what it is, to call the structuring throughout the world, the banking system, the governmental systems, for what they are, which is incorporated structures that are moribund and bankrupt in many ways. So all of these things are occurring in parallel. And when you add these things up, what you see are forces at work that are deconstructing this carefully crafted reality. Yes, those that have crafted it are working very hard to reinforce it and to make it stronger. And you see this through these so-called false flag terror events of various sorts, notably in the United States, Canada, and Great Britain in particular. But they are occurring elsewhere also. So there are those attempts that continue to seek to control humanity and to reinforce the model. But the model is fraying quickly at the edges. So these are the things that I'm pointing at by way of changes that are emerging in the human experience. But beyond this, there is this transformation in consciousness which will occur as these changes gather further momentum. Because if you have followed the work of these two, you will understand that humanity went through a fall in consciousness some 12.5 to 13,000 years ago with what is known as the fall in Atlantis. And it is scheduled for humanity to recover from that fall. And that indeed is what you are in the early processes of. It is what these awakenings represent, the beginning of that shift back towards humanity reclaiming the truth of who and what they are. So I trust this answers your question.
Thank you very much. Is there time for one more?
No, it really isn't. I wish yet, okay. Jessica, we could give more, but we are getting right up to the wire. Thank you for your answer. Max and Richard, for bringing it forth. I do want to say this. Max, as you can tell from the little that he has spoken about tonight, is so knowledgeable in so many different ways that listening to him is a real privilege. And what we have done today, earlier, Richard and I, is we had a list of questions from one of our people that we work with, and Max went down the list of questions answering each and every one of them in just as a profound manner as he is doing now. And so Richard and I will make this available to you in our listening audience. You will be able to send your questions, your personal questions, and I guess you might even say scientific questions to Max for his answers. And we do so appreciate this. Also, I want to thank you personally from the depths of my heart, Max, for being here again, for working with us, for bringing forth this magnificent information. Thank you so much. And Richard, I want to thank you personally in a very humble manner for being here, working with Max, and bringing this forth.
Thank you, Carolyn. It is my pleasure to do so. And Max, what do you have to say? It is my pleasure to come forth in this manner, to take this unique platform to share a little of what I understand so that those listening directly or afterwards through the recording have some understanding of what is available. I work through other individuals, and I'm very honored to do so and perform different roles in their context based on their orientation and focus, just indeed as any crystal does. However, what I have begun to do through these two is a unique offering, which it is my great pleasure to be able to offer in this way.
Yeah, we're excited about that, Max. After doing one earlier today for someone who works with us, the answers that came forth about Lemuria and Atlantis and so many other really interesting questions, historical questions, and what you have brought forth in the scientific area, what you hold in your consciousness is so remarkable, and we are very excited to be able to offer your services to other people. We will let them know how to do this. So thank you, Max. We appreciate it again. Also, Richard is displaying a remarkable feat himself, and we call it right brain magic, using the right side of your brain to connect with other consciousness. And Richard does this himself with our callers. He teaches people to work with other consciousness. So, Richard, we have 4 minutes. And do you have anything to add in this 4 minutes?
Well, other than I think we'll finish up with a recording that people can hear.
Yes. I'm just delighted to hear Max's information. I just think it's so revolutionary as far as what has been given to us.
Indeed. Indeed. Quite fascinating. I think I can't help but mention the amazing content that comes forth in the soul origin and history readings that you bring forth to people, Carolyn. It was interesting today. We had cause to listen to one of these that Carolyn recorded and I kind of tidied up going back. You know, we did it a few months ago now, and it related to the individual who had been asking questions of Max that Carolyn mentioned earlier. And truly, I mean, in a sense, you might think we're familiar with its content, and yet we both sat there spellbound listening to this amazing content coming forth about the origin of this lady's beautiful soul, its creation, the path that its monad has taken in that particular instance related to the understanding and roles and interactions of animals and butterflies and plants and so on, not only as they come forth upon Earth, but indeed elsewhere in the cosmos, and the ability and understanding to access the libraries where they exist about this information to bring it forth for the creator gods working on the planet so they could kind of fashion it, if you will, to fit in with everything else that was being done. Truly amazing information. And all of us have, if you will, paths that our monads have chosen to walk that are similarly amazing. All of you that listen to these calls, to these radio shows, are individuals who carry some level of, you might say, spiritual prompting to be here listening to this, either live or in the recording. And all of you are individuals who are contributing in some manner, not too dissimilar to what I mentioned. So there is a story there for all of you if you are willing to search it out. And if this is of interest to you, you can find most of the ones that we've done and certainly plenty of examples on the souloriginandhistory.com website. Check it out. There's also some other information there about the difference between the soul and the higher self and so on. So it's not a big website, but there's some pretty information, pretty interesting information there. And if you are drawn to one of these readings, I know they're not inexpensive, but the information that you will receive is truly life-changing in many, many, many cases.
It takes us a very long time to put together one of these histories.
Truly, it does.
I would say that some of them is just about a week of our time to put one together. A lot of searching to be done from the records themselves. And so, my friends, I am so happy that you were able to hear what went on, or you will be able to hear what went on tonight. We didn't have the interference that we had last night. And so to you, Richard, my great and humble respect for your skills and what you do. And for my friends out there listening to this, I greet you, I salute you, I honor you. Until the next time.
Thank you, Carolyn. Good night, everyone.